Good morning. We've been talking about Gemara that says, "Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasot Chizkiyahu Mashiach v'Sancheriv Gog Magog." Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu the king of Yehuda Mashiach and Sancheriv Gog Magog. We, I think, covered that pretty thoroughly. Four different explanations. As I've said a number of times, there's a fifth one, but it has to wait until we've learned more Gemara. So four different explanations of what it means to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. Now we'll go on to the next line, the Gemara. Amram Midat Adin, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midat Adin said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shamar Kama Sheret Tishpachot Lefanecha. David Melech Yisrael, who said many songs and praises before you. Lo asito Mashiach. You did not make him Mashiach. Chizkia shasita l'kol ha'nisim halalu v'lo amar l'fanecha shira taseo Mashiach. Chizkia, for whom you did these miracles, you saved him from Sancheriv. He woke up in the morning and 185,000 soldiers of Sancheriv were dead. And you healed him from his illness. Chizkia was the first person ever to get up from a deathly from his deathbed to be healed from a very serious illness. And you did not sing, he did not sing Shira before you. You should make him Mashiach. So the question is, what does singing Shira have to do with being Mashiach? Why does not singing Shira disqualify him from being Mashiach? We already had one other Gemara in this perek about Shira at the very beginning of the perek. The Gemara asked, "Tchiyat Hameitim in Atara Minayin." Where do we find Tchiyas Hameitim alluded to in the Torah? And the Gemara brought, according to some, 18 answers. Depends how you count them. But, and one of them was in the pasuk. It says, "Az Yashir Moshe." Then Moshe will sing. "Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Israel." Then Moshe and Bnei Israel will sing. It doesn't say then they did sing, but it says then in future tense they will sing. So Mikan the Tchiyas Hameitzim in the Torah. From here, you see an allusion to Tchiyas Hameitzim in the Torah. Although that was only one of 18 allusions to Tchiyas Hameitzim, but it seems to suggest some connection between Shira and Tchiyas Hameitzim, Shira and the future. So the question is, what is this connection? Sefer Sifsi Chaim, Moadim Chelek Bet, page Tuf Tedvav. Talking about the seventh day of Pesach, about Az Yashir, he brings in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Dessler, Michtam Eliyahu. Medrash says, "Az Yashir Moshe, then Moshe will sing, Hadahu Dichtiv. Thus it is written, Nachon Kisacha Me'az. Your throne is established from Az, from then." Somehow this Shira established Hashem's throne. Medrash goes on and says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I sinned to you with the word Az," because at the end of Parsha Shmos, Moshe complains to Hashem, "Me'az bati el paro, from the time that I came to Paro, things have gotten worse for the Jewish people. And now that you drown them, Niyam Suf, I praise you with the word Az." The question is, what does that mean? So happens to use the same word. What's the significance of that? So Friedlander quotes Maral. Maral says that the word Az, Aleph Zayin, alludes to the oneness of Hashem. Aleph is the oneness of Hashem. And the Zion is everything. We think of physical space, think of the number of six. The number six, there's up, down, right, left, forward, and backward. That covers all of physical space. So one above that, one beyond that, is seven. The word Oz represents Hashem, who is one, ruling over seven, over everything. Not a coincidence, the number of days of the week is seven. This number seven is found in a lot of places. Furthermore, Maharal says, the word Oz is a very interesting word because it can refer to the past and it can refer to the future. Okay. Oz means back then, and it also means then in the future. So Oz Yashir Moshe, it's not the word Oz that makes it future tense, it's the word Yashir that makes it future tense. But if it said Oz Shar Moshe, then Moshe sang, it would have been past tense. So what does all of this signify? And we know when we think of time, we think of past, present, and future. And that's really only because our ability to see everything at once is limited. It gives a mashal of the way we see time is, imagine, take a map of Maryland. Maryland's my contribution to the mashal. Take a map, take a piece of paper, make a hole in it, and you put it down over White Oak on the map. And then, so that's all you see is White Oak. And then you slowly move the map up Route 29, see Columbia, see Ellicott City. If you're paying attention closely before Columbia, you'll see a brand new city that appeared out of nowhere a few years ago, Maple Lawn. And up, move it up, you see Columbia, you see Ellicott City, then you see Route 70, you turn on Route 70, and you see Baltimore, but you'll see each one at a time. If you take the paper off the map, you we'll see everything at once. Hashem sees everything, sees the whole map at once. He sees all of time at once. We only see little pieces at a time because that's the concealment that Hashem placed over the world. And the reason Hashem did that is for our own good. If we could experience all of life's joys all at once. Now imagine all of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren were born, had bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, got married, and had their own children on the same day. We would die from joy. Now, it would be too much to take. And similarly, if God forbid, all of our grandparents and great-grandparents died on the same day, it would be too much to take. So Hashem, in his kindness, conceals most of time. So we only see little points at a time. And therefore, we have a perception of past, present, and future. But really, it's all the same thing. And the word, the fact that the same word, Oz, can refer to the past and to the future, is an indication of that it really, it's all Hashem, it's all one. It's just that our vision is limited. Because our vision is limited, we have questions. Moshe Rabbeinu says, since I came to Paro, things only got worse. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see the whole picture. He didn't see what Hashem had in store. Brings a mashal from the Chavetz Chaim. Visitor comes into a shul, Shabbos, and he sees the Gabbai give out aliyos. And he goes over to the Gabbai afterwards, like, why did you give aliyos to him, and him? What about that person? He's more worthy, and that person. The Gabbai says, if you were here every week, you would see there's a system. You would see people have yard sites. You would see people have simchas. You would see who got an aliyah last week. You would see who will get an aliyah next week. And then you'll understand. But if you're just a visitor and you show up one Shabbos, who are you to question how I give out the aliyahs? Similarly, we're here in this world for a short amount of time. We have a limited perspective. And who are we to ask questions? And he says, presumably Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't challenging Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I want to understand. You sent me to Paro. I want to understand why things are going in the wrong direction. Nevertheless, that was an avera for Moshe. Even if we attribute that motive to him, that he just wanted to understand, even that is an avera, because sometimes Hashem tests us where our task is to not understand and just accept the fact that we don't understand. And that's what was happening to Moshe at that moment. And since his questioning was presumably mixed in with at least a little bit of feeling the suffering of the Jewish people, so it wasn't even if his question was, I want to understand, but it was tinged with a little bit of how could you do this to the people that I love? I need to understand it, as if Hashem is doing something wrong.
Was it, and where it was a complaint? Because I mean, later on, where it said, to Hashem, show me your glory, I mean, that's not considered.
That wasn't during a time of suffering. But what Rav Friedlander is saying is that. Since it was a time of suffering, even if his motivation was 99%, I want to understand, but because of Moshe's love for the Jewish people, it necessarily must have been tinged with a little bit of a complaint, a little bit of, how could you do this? And in such a time, a person's task is to just accept and not to ask any questions, no matter what the motivation. That's how Friedlander's learning. Okay. Could be other ways to learn, too. That's how Friedlander's learning. At Kriya Yamsuf, when Jewish people saw how harshly the Egyptians were punished, then they were able to look back and say, everything that happened, including things getting worse before they got better, was intended to magnify the punishment of the Egyptians, to magnify the glory of Hashem. We also say that they were able to leave Egypt early because things got worse. So all of that was leading up to what Hashem had in store, which they could only see in hindsight. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, I sinned with the word Oz, and I'm singing praise with the word Oz, I'm atoning with the same word, it's not just the same word. What he's saying is, the word Oz alludes to the past, it alludes to the future. The reason is because it's all really a continuum. I didn't appreciate that before. Now I can look back. And now I can appreciate the continuum. This is specifically connected with song, with idea of song. One word or even one letter can have meaning. It can be a symbol for something. It can be understood. However, if I take out a violin and I play a perfect A, and then I put away the violin, you're not going to say, wow, that was so meaningful, that was so beautiful. Music is meaningful because it's a continuum of a lot of notes put together. Only when all the notes are put together does it have meaning and can it be appreciated. And that's the same thing with history, the same thing with Hashem's actions, same thing with all of our experiences in our lives. Only when we see them in the big picture, only when they're all put together, do they have meaning. And that's something that's specifically hinted to by Shira, by song. So it's not just Oz, the word Oz and the word Oz, but Oz Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe sang, and then Moshe will sing, even with the very high level that they achieved then at Kriyas Yam Suf. They still didn't achieve the highest level, the fullest understanding. So there's still Az Yashir, there's still song to be sung again in the future, or sung better in the future. And that's why that's an allusion to Kriyas Amesim, because only in the future, at the end of all of history, can even Moshe Rabbeinu look back and understand everything. Yitzi alluded to, he asked, show me your glory. Hashem's answer was, I'll show you my back. Only in hindsight can we really understand. And he says that is the reward of Olam Haba, is the immense joy that we will have from actually understanding everything that ever happened. He says that is the reward of Olam Haba. Before Tchias HaMesim is Mashiach. We discussed other times, do they come together, separate steps? That's another shiur, or a number of other shiurim that we've had already, but they're both in the future. So Mashiach is someone who will bring us the time when we will be able to look back and understand. Mashiach himself has to be somebody who can sing Shira, who can put it all together and understand it all. By not singing Shira, Chizkiah showed he wasn't that person. He wasn't on that level. And he would, therefore, Chizkiah could not be Mashiach. That's why not singing Shira disqualified Chizkiah from being Mashiach. He brings... But before that, at the end of Az Yashir, we say, Hashem yimloch lolam va'ed. Hashem will rule forever. Why do we say that at the end of Az Yashir? Why did the Jewish people say that at the end of Az Yashir? It's this very idea. Hashem, of course, always was king, always will be king. But we don't appreciate it. We don't see that. There are lots of times in our lives when we don't see that Hashem is king, either on a personal level or a national level. We don't see Hashem at all. We wonder, where is Hashem? So at the end of the Shira, when we've put everything together and we've seen the Oz of the past and the Oz of the future and how it's all one, then we can say Hashem yimloch lolam va'ed. Then we really understand Hashem will rule forever. Hashem will be revealed as the king forever. He brings from it Tfilos of Yamim Noraim, which we said on Rosh Hashanah, and we'll say again next week on Yom Kippur, the expanded version of the Bracha Takadosh is really all about this, about davening for time when Hashem will be revealed, and when the whole world will recognize Hashem. That is because now, and that's called making Hashem king. Hashem is already the king, but we crown Hashem by davening that he should be revealed to the whole world as king. And we say in that bracha, V'chein tzadikim yir'u v'yismachu, and so tzadikim will see and will rejoice, v'sharim ya'alozu, and those who are yashar, those who are straight, who go in a straightforward way, ya'alozu, they will rejoice. What's the difference between these two expressions? So he brings from Rav Yitzchak Meltzin, mentioned the other day that a lot of the things we say in the name of the Vilna Gaon were not written by the Vilna Gaon, but written by students or students of students or even third generation in the name, traditions in the name of the Vilna Gaon. One of the people who wrote many of the things we say in the name of the Vilna Gaon was Rav Yitzchak Meltzin. So Rav Yitzchak Meltzin writes in his commentary on the Siddur that appears in the Siddur called Siddur Hagra, which isn't really. He writes that tzaddikim are people who always believed that everything Hashem does is for the good, but it was an intellectual belief. They didn't feel it. They just kept telling themselves, yes, I know everything Hashem does for the good. Do I see it? Do I feel it? Absolutely not. So, v'chein tzaddikim yir'u in the future, after this is after we've talked about Hashem being revealed to the whole world, we say, and then tzaddikim will see and they will rejoice. They'll see the truth of what they've always believed intellectually, and then they will rejoice. Yesharim are people who always recognized that Hashem's ways are just, who actually not only knew it intellectually, they felt it. That Hashem's ways are just. Ya'alozu, they will express outwardly the joy that they always felt inwardly. There's two different levels. There are those who tell themselves, everything called the Avid Rahman al-Tav Avid, everything Hashem does is good, and in the future they will see that it's true, and then they will rejoice, and then there are those who always felt it, and they will be able to express outwardly the joy that they always felt inwardly. Just to clarify the offhand comment I made, that I said it's not really a Siddur Agra. There are commentaries in here that are from the Vilna Gaon, and there are commentaries in here that are from Rav Meltzin's own commentaries. As far as the Nusach of the Siddur itself, we don't actually know for sure what the Vilna Gaon's Nusach was. There are little points here and there where we know what his Nusach was. We don't have a complete Siddur of Nusach Agra.
That's what it is.
He lived in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, in Yerushalayim. So that is, Rav Chaim Friedlander says, largely in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Dessler, about Shira of the future and why Chizkia could not be Mashiach. Next Shira will be next Thursday, the day after Yom Kippur.